It is. सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारंभं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। समस्त जन कल्याण निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुस्साक्षात् परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः।
कीर्तन एवरीबडी माइट बी नोइंग प्लीज जॉइन।
जय 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 मन मोहना जय 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 मधुसूदना
All right.
Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, Shri Krishna Sharanam. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Krishna Sharanam Mama, Shri 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 Krishna Sharanam Mama. Sharanam Mama, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, 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 Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama.
सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः.
Okay, let me welcome all of you to this camp. Salutations to Bhagavan Shri Krishna. Salutations to our Puja Gurudev. And to a long line of great, great gurus and acharyas who have brought down to us a most wonderful, illustrious tradition, this Sanatana Dharma. Salutations to our most wonderful acharyas. Here also, Raghuji, Gitaji, and now our two acharyas who have joined here today also, Tirenji and Himali. And Manharji, who has been doing Chinmay Mission work, and all the people who are here working so hard to keep this tradition alive. Wonderful. Today I am supposed to now see with you Bhaktas in Bhagavatam. I don't have a Bhagavatam with me, but I will get one soon. But I want to tell you, Tulsidas ji uses a word for bhakta. Bhakta word in Tulsi Ramayana, Tulsidas ji calls it jana. Jana. Whenever jana in Tulsi Ramayana, you see, it means a bhakta. And in Bhagavata, he gets it from Bhagavatam actually. Tulsidas ji has drawn from Bhagavatam profusely. So you will hear many times, bhakta jana. You heard? Bhakta jana. Well, in the Bhagavatam, there are many great bhaktas, many great janas. But among all of them, the great Prahlad is called as Mahajana. Mahajana. If you have heard this name, some people name Mahajan. Last name or something. I know some people whose name last name is Mahajana. Mahajana means great bhakta. Like that. That title, Mahajan, is reserved for Prahlad. He is such a great devotee, and there are a number of reasons why the Prahlad prasanga of the Bhagavatam is so important. So let me start off with that. Well, I'll have to tell you all from my head what I remember now. So let me start by telling you this Prahlad story. It's a very, very nice story. And it touches on all aspects of Sanatana Dharma. Bhakti, Dharma, all socio-religious topics. It also, socio-religious topics, we'll see just now how it comes. But touches also on in Hinduism, a very important thing, which is called as epistemology. How we actually come to know things. Epistemology is a philosophical topic about knowledge, how we come to know. So as you go along, you will see how many things this Prahlad story touches on. The story starts off with the brother of Hiranyaksha, who was removed by Bhagwan Vishnu. Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu, his name was Hiranyaksha. He was removed, younger brother. He was removed by Lord Vishnu. Some long stories there about that also. But that's not our story today. Hiranyakashipu got really angry with Bhagwan. Oh, this is Lord Vishnu. He feels he's so big. He's there. I'll finish him. So, Hiranyakashipu, who was a Rakshasa, instead of taking the hint that, look, you know, he killed my brother. He has to be a real powerful being, isn't it? If he could have killed my brother, who had put the whole earth in peril, that Hiranyaksha had put the whole earth in peril, if he could have killed... Ravan even mused like this, but not as Hiranyaksha. In fact, this Ravan is Hiranyakashipu only. Ravan mused, if Rama has killed Karadushan, that means to say there has to be something. Ravan thought. But in this avatar, in this incarnation as Hiranyakashipu, he did not think. This Lord Vishnu has killed my, or not Lord Vishnu, for him Vishnu only. This Vishnu has killed my brother. I will do tapas and I will become powerful. Then I will, that time he's planning now, he'll flaunt his power. He's planning from before. He hasn't gotten power yet, but he's already thinking of flaunting. Listen, one more thing I tell you before. All things that we see in all of the Rakshasas, don't think that they are foreign to us. What makes a rakshas is only gunas, isn't it? There's what we call as gunas in shastras, and there's durgunas. You heard? So it's only that they do everything like all human beings, only that they just have durgunas. And so if that person has durguna, that rakshas in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan makes two lists. What one is called Devi Sampat, and the other is called Asuri Sampat. All the qualities, Devic qualities, divine qualities. And then all this on this side, all Rakshas qualities. And if you see Bhagavan's, first of all, this list is very short. two verses he finishes this list only. 22 verses this list goes on. It means to say that this list is more prominent and more, you know, preponderant in the world, and you see this more than you see this. Only one good thing you can say, you know. All these good qualities and these evil qualities, right? You know, if you put gold on one side of a scale, 1 kilogram of gold, on the other side, you put feathers to make that 1 kilogram, how many feathers you will have to put? And then 1 kilogram of gold. Well, that is the difference between gunas. That's why Bhagavan, 2 verses gunas. 22 verses durgunas. It means one Swami Tapovanji Maharaj. One Puja Gurudev. One is enough to keep the... Yeah. See? So Bhagavan put just 2 verses there. So now, the only thing that makes a person rakshas is the gunas. That's why, see, Asuri Sampat, Bhagavan calls it. Asuri Sampat means asuras who have all of these gunas. So now, if you look at those 22 verses, 21, 22 verses Bhagavan lists there, these gunas we see every day. And when we want to see it best, we have to just look in the mirror. All the Asuri Sampat, you see. And one more thing. Shastras, see, Tulsidas ji starts his Hanuman Chalisa. How? Shri Guru Charana Saroja Raja Nijamanu Mukura Sudhari. Our mind is a mirror, you know. Mirror what he uses. This mirror is a very important thing. All our Shastra is a mirror. Shastra is supposed to be seen as a mirror. Whatever is there. When you look in a mirror, you don't see your neighbor. When we look in a mirror, who do we see? Self. We see ourselves only. So, all our shastras are meant to be like a mirror. So, when we look there, and we see, Bhagavan lists all these durgunas. Now, we have to ask, never ask, which durguna do I have? That is not what the question is. The question is, how much of each of them I have? Because all will be there in some. Yes, in some degree. It's only a matter of degrees. So some is more asuric than some. That is all. So you know, when I look in the Shastra and say, oh, which one I have, this, I have to remove this, 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 this. And it goes on that list. So now, one of the striking features of asuras or rakshasas in our shastras is this thing. Please pay attention to this. See, there are devas and asuras, you know, na? Two groups are there. Good guys and bad guys, that's what we normally say. Good guys and bad guys. But one of the distinguishing features between them is this. Because see, I'll tell you, if you start looking at distinguishing features, you'll see these rakshasas used to do bad things. But if you look at Indra and all of these on this side, there's nobody who have done more wicked things than Indra himself. Correct or not? This fellow does every wicked thing in the book you can think about, he does. Then what makes him Deva and what makes his Hiranyakashipu Asura, you know? And this is one distinguishing feature, let me tell you. Anytime the devas are in trouble, they know that there is only one refuge in this world, that is Bhagwan. Anytime these asuras are in trouble, they feel they will finish Bhagwan also. Isn't it? They always feel that they are greater than Bhagwan also. When you tell Ravan and Shri Ram is coming, hey, Shri mat kaho. Don't say Shri. No respect for the Lord. He feels that he's greater than the Lord. Is that Rakshasas? This is their whole swabhav. That is why they always go ask for some boon. Bhasmasura. He'll put his hand on anybody's head and they'll turn to ashes. So, they don't have want any refuge with Bhagwan and all that kind of thing. They want to outdo Bhagwan. You see? But the gods always know, when we get in trouble, look, we better go on. Surrender. Otherwise, the gunas and all. So this is what gives the push over onto the Rakshas side. Durgunas are everybody. Everybody have only. So now, his brother died by the might of Bhagwan himself. Hiranyakashipu's brother. So instead of thinking now, if he could have killed my brother who was so powerful, then I better think a second time. No. Instead of using the opportunity now to remove his ego, he used the opportunity now to build his ego. So now he went there and Mount Mandara, he stood there like this. And he started on one leg doing tapas. Now, see, when he started his tapas there, Hiranyakashipu, this is to get powers, not to conquer, to take revenge. Actually, this is the thing, revenge. But revenge is an unending chain, you know that. Because if A takes revenge on B, he does something, suppose B had done something and he takes revenge. Well, he has done just as bad an act, isn't it? So now somebody will, the karma has to work like that. Now somebody will have to pounce on A because he pounced on B. So that has no end. So now, standing there, worshipping, doing tapas for Brahmaji to come there. Then Indra, seeing on this side, Hiranyakashipu is not there in his kingdom anymore. Nobody is there. The leader is not there. He sees that opportunity now and he pounces on this kingdom. Hiranyakashipu's kingdom. And all who were there, who Hiranyakashipu had left to man that palace and everything. Indra came there with his team of soldiers and beat out everybody and all. And now, that Kayadhu, his wife, this Hiranyakashipu's wife, was there in the palace also. And Indra snatched her and was taking her back to his Amaravati, his own capital. On the way, Narada saw him. And Narada said, hey, Indra, who is this woman? And where are you taking her? For the first time, Narada became serious, Otherwise, he's always Narayana. He's not a very serious fellow. But when he saw this, he became very serious, He called out loudly to Indra, where are you taking this woman? Who is this woman? So Indra said, well, she is the wife of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu is doing tapas. So I am taking her to Amaravati. Right now, she is carrying the son of Hiranyakashipu. And I am taking her there. When this son is born, I want to kill him. So I will end this lineage of Hiranyakashipu. That is Indra's solution. Now please pay attention to this. Indra's solution, and it sounds logical also, that if he is the next, the heir to Hiranyakashipu, and I kill the heir, the lineage, finish. But this type of solution misses the point in Sanatana Dharma. It appears as though when Indra says this thing, it sounds very logical, and this will really be the way to end that lineage of the reign of terror of Hiranyakashipu. But Narad tells a very nice thing to him. You, the king of heaven, the king of Swarga, and this type of act you will do. How shameful thing. Narad tells him a whole lot of, leave this woman alone. And Indra, not being able to give a reply to Narad, released her. She came down from Indra's chariot, and she came and she bowed to Narada. And Narada told, now Indra has destroyed your palace and your king's palace and your husband's palace and everything. He took her to his ashram. And he started teaching the child in the womb. And this is one of the most remarkable means of rehabilitating and building society. Indra's solution is to wipe out the generation. Right? See the difference, huh? You end that generation of, because he's the heir. Narad's solution is to re-educate the next generation. There's a world of difference between the two or not? So he started teaching that boy in the womb itself. And that is the second most important message. The first one is, the way to bring about transformation in society is not to kill the next generation, but to re-educate the next generation. And this is the first point. The second point is, not to wait until they are born to start the education. The education has to start from the womb itself. It's called prenatal education. Now the Western world is slowly discovering the importance of prenatal education. It's slowly coming in. But this is a very, very important thing. And see, this story has been teaching this for such a long time. Prenatal. So Narada taught all about Hari Bhakti, because what else? He's the one who himself gave the Narada Bhakti Sutras and all, devotion to Bhagwan. So, when this boy was born now, he stayed for a little while there. Meanwhile, there in Mount Mandara, Hiranyakashipu standing there doing tapasana, Brahmaji came. Because he started emitting fire, you know, with all the tapas. And all the god, everybody became worried. So they went and told Brahmaji, do something. He's emitting fire there. So Brahmaji came. And it is said he took some water from his kamandal and all, Gangajal. And he doused that fire. And then Hiranyakashipu emerged. He said, Hige, what do you want? This, you know, the story goes like that. In the Arabian countries, there's some genie comes. Indian story, Brahmaji comes. Tell what boon you want now. Now, the Rakshasas always want, which boon? Immortality. All of them ask for that, isn't it? They will always do this tapas and I want to be immortal. And Brahmaji will have to tell the same line over and over. No. You can't be immortal. Nobody is immortal. You have to ask for some other boon. So Hiranyakashipu now said, oh, all right. Well, if I have to die, then let me die. But I'll tell you how I want to die. Is that okay? Brahmaji said, okay, then tell. Well, I don't want to die by man or animal. I don't want to die in daytime or nighttime. I don't want to die in space or on earth. I don't want to die inside or outside. I don't want to die by weapon or by hand. All such things that he gave so many conditions, right? I will die, but... Well, Bhagwan is called Maryata Purushottam, you know. Bhagwan, we may feel that we can trick the Lord, you know. But the Lord always has something up his sleeve. So, Brahmaji, and one more thing, you know. It is always this Brahmaji gives boon to all of these Rakshasas. And always Bhagwan Vishnu or Lord Shiva has to do something, you know. Because Brahmaji, only, he gives only. It's because his work is like that. What? He creates the universe. Now you manage it. There are many people like that also, na? Human beings and all. They create all trouble. Now you have to? Yeah, you have to manage all that trouble. No? You solve it. So anyway, this Brahmaji, he keeps on giving boon. Tathastu, tathastu, tathastu. Everybody comes there, he gives. So he gave to this Hiranyakashipu, tathastu. So be it. So now he came back and he started a reign of terror again. Back to the good old days. Reign of terror. Now, Narada, he has returned. So Narad brought that wife and son and explained that's what happened and gave them. So he became so happy he had a son. By chance, one day, he asked his son, now that son's name Narad only had given Prahlad. He asked his son, do you know who is the supreme being in this world? Because now he felt, because he cannot die. The conditions he gave there, he feel he'll not die. He felt he'll not die, you know. So he asked his son, do you know who is the supreme being in this world? This little boy being tutored by Narada, of course I know. Mahavishnu. When the father heard this boy's reply, oh, bapre, he became beside himself with misery. So he called all the priests and everybody, now all the people who were there, who had by that time become all what we call yes men for Hiranyakashipu, you know. So he told them, you all go and teach this boy something properly. So they went there and they took this boy and with all the other children in the kingdom and all Hiranyakashipu's kingdom, and they started teaching them all the art of Rakshatvam. Rakshasa Vidhi. Whatever you want to call it. You know, all the Rakshas ways and all. Now, after all of that also, the father called the boy now again and sat him down. Now who is the supreme person in the universe? Mahavishnu. Still. Well, he called the priest now, all the teachers. What are you all teaching this boy? They told, no, we are teaching this boy what you told us to teach. But each time he comes back, he's telling about Mahavishnu. No, so the other thing is there. One more thing now, see. And that is a very important lesson for all our Balvihar and all. Huh? When the children are young, if we really put the right things in their mind, no matter what comes later on, whatever comes later on, sooner or later, you know when you see, you tell something, tell if it is true or not. You see, all the people who are my age and over here, right? Don't you have a big problem remembering where you put your car keys? and your house keys, and whether you turn off the stove. And now when you go outside there, which side you put your shoes? This side or that side? One fellow was very smart, you know. His wife asked, where did you place your shoes? Right next to the umbrella. Where did you place the umbrella? Right next to the shoes. Can't go wrong. One husband and wife came to satsang on Sunday morning in temple. So while they were going back to the parking lot, the husband was telling the wife, see, you're always blaming me. I don't remember to take up the umbrella. Look, I remember from the temple to the parking lot, you know. You're always telling, I forget the umbrella, Look, today I remember, I picked it up. Not only that, I picked up yours also. See, you forgot. I picked up yours also. That wife said, neither of us brought umbrella today. Two umbrella also. So now see, at this age, you keep forgetting everything you are not. Eh? Yes. Nowadays, it's getting worse. I see young people now, they also forgetting so fast. But now, tell me one more thing. When you were younger, there are so many, I know, you keep telling me a lot of stories of when you were younger. You remember those stories very well, correct or not? In our mind, those stories are squished. And just now you can't remember where you put your keys. But you remember stories from 40 years. How you remember those things so well. So the idea is, the younger we are, the more we remember as we grow. And this carries, this holds true all the way to conception. The same rule holds true all the way to conception. And so whatever was put in Prahlad's mind by Narada, no matter what his father tried to put on top of that later on, that could never cover this. I said, look here now. No matter how much darkness you bring upon a candle, would it be able to make the candle dull? Light the lamp of knowledge inside and devotion and all. No matter how much darkness you put on that, what you call pitch dark. In fact, the candle loves pitch dark. It will brighten up that better. It will glow more. If there are other lights already, the candle's light will fade. But if it's pitch dark, it will show even. And no matter how much darkness we put, it cannot make that candlelight dull, you know. So Narad had kindled in that Prahlad the right thing at the right time. And now his devotion for Bhagavan was so intense. That no matter what, and at the same time, no matter what the father did, it couldn't work on him. Second thing, at the same time, he never got angry with his father also. So now, the father tried, well, you all know that story also. Father tried so many things to kill him and all that, and none of it worked. Now I'm telling you all the things which are there behind the story. The shell of the story, you know. Just now I told you, I use a philosophical, what you call it, epistemology. Epistemology means how we come to know things. How we come to know things? We come to know things in the womb. Whatever all gunas of parents at that time, whatever they are doing, all it goes into the child. The best way to teach. Whenever At time of conception, whatever we want a child to learn, better start right away. He'll learn it like that. Ved Vyasi taught Shukadev in the womb, whole thing. All Vedanta, everything in the womb itself, he learned everything. So much so that he became realized in the womb and didn't want to come out. So, when we really want to teach, see the Rishi's way of teaching. When the three wives of Dasharathji Maharaj were carrying those four boys, Valmikiji explained very nicely, they spent all their time in the company of sadhus, rishis, and ashrams, and pilgrimage, and all of that sort of thing. Important thing. So now, he was really infused with Hari Bhakti, with Prahlad, and Narayan, like Narad. He went on saying, and nothing that his father tried worked on him. Nothing could touch him. When finally the father thought, okay, my sister has this great boon. He told his sister, you take him. Sister would not be burnt by fire. Take him and go into that fire. Prahlad came out unscathed and his sister got burnt also. So the story goes on like this until the father got so angry with the boy, only saying, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Your Narayan is in his pillar. And he said, yes, why? My Narayan is everywhere. Why? What do you mean pillar? Any other place, only in his pillar. And that father took that sword and struck the pillar. And out came that Narasimha Bhagwan. Narasimha Bhagwan represents the Sarva Shaktiman Bhagwan. Sarva Shaktiman means the one who is capable of doing. Yeah, he's all powerful. Meaning to say, the one who makes the impossible possible. If there's a human being, there's first the human being, and in the human being, there is his Shakti and there is power, na? Sitting in the human being. So, there are two different things from analytic standpoint. There's the man and there's his power. So in the same way, the Lord and his power is called as Maya. Bhagavan's power is called as Maya. There's a name given to it. And Maya, Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, Maya, aghatita ghatanapatiyasi Maya. Maya makes the impossible possible. I'll tell you a nice thing. Tulsidas ji gives great recognition to this. See here. In Sundarkanda, Hanumanji goes to Lanka and Hanumanji's Ishta Devata is Ram. Everywhere he remembers Ram, whatever he's doing. He remembers Ram before he does. But when he's entering Lanka, there Tulsidas ji writes that he remembers this Narasimha Bhagwan. Sumiri Narahari, that word comes there. And it is because he had first done a survey of Lanka, and Ravan had fortified Lanka so well, that not even a mosquito could enter Lanka undetected. In fact, Hanumanji, Masaka Saman Rupa Kapidhari, he became as small as a mosquito and tried to enter, and that Lankini caught him. So not a mosquito could enter even. Great border protection agent there. Lankini. And it was night time. In the dark, she could detect a mosquito. So he had surveyed. And when he had seen the fortification of Lanka, he realized it is impossible to penetrate. And therefore, Sumiri Narahari. And I just told you, Maya is that which makes the impossible possible. And the boon which he had asked for, Hiranyakashipu, that seemed as though it would be impossible to kill Hiranyakashipu. But Bhagavan's power of Maya is mysterious power. It will make the impossible possible. So when he struck that pillar, out came that Bhagavan. Now what? Not man, not animal. It was not nighttime, it was not daytime. Right in the, dusk. Twilight. And he came half lion, half man. So you don't know how to define him now. In any case, Bhagavan is indefinable. Then he took him in the doorway, not inside, not outside, on his lap. Not in the sky, not on the earth. And then with his nails, claws, not hand, not weapon. And he, you know that story. So Bhagavan's power is called as Maya. And with that Maya power, he makes the impossible possible. And so, which seemed impossible, became possible. The idea is, nobody should ever feel that they could trick God in any. One fellow went to Bhagavan. He said, Prabhu. Bhagavan said, yes. He said, can I ask you something? Oh, yes, yes, ask. Prabhu, isn't it true that a million years is like 1 second to you? Bhagavan said, time is, I'm beyond time, so a million years is like a second, is nothing to me. Oh, Bhagavan, isn't it true that $1 million is like 1 cent to you? Bhagavan said, yes, $1 million is like 1 cent. That is nothing to me. He said, Bhagavan, give me a cent now. Bhagavan said, wait a second now. I'll give. Just wait a second. So not any plan we have, to outdo Bhagavan, forget about it. The idea is, before the Lord, we all have to come just as we are, with no trickery, no bribe. Bhagavan doesn't take bakshish. No, nothing. Just come as we are. And here is where this Hiranyakashipu tried every which way to preserve his life. What a boon to ask for. When I was a child and I heard this story the first time, I also wondered how Bhagavan will ever kill him. At that time I did not know Aghatita Gatana Patiyasi Maya, you know. Bhagavan Maya. And anything conceivable or even inconceivable, Bhagavan can do with that power. And that Prahlad had learned from Narada. In fact, if we study this one concept, anything possible, anything conceivable, or its opposite, anything inconceivable also. Because Agatita Gatana, anything conceivable, inconceivable, possible, impossible. Because our mind cannot conceive of it, don't think that it is not possible. Bhagavan power is almighty, and there is nothing outside the capacity of that power. If we study this one aspect of the Lord, our existence will pale into insignificance before that grandeur of Bhagavan. That person just has to reflect on this one power of the Lord, this Maya power in this Narasimha Bhagavan avatar. This one power he has to reflect on, and will his individual ego will melt away. But see, people don't want to do that. Oh, the individual ego, we don't want it to go. The moment somebody tells anything, hey, you know, I was sitting on this seat. Why you took my seat? Since when it became your seat? People become, develop mamatva and ahamtva very fast. One only has to sit on that seat for 2 minutes, go outside to get a drink of water, and come back and somebody is sitting on that seat. Already it has become my effort in 2 minutes. And instead of immediately reflecting and seeing, oh, my ego just jumped out at the man. My ego just jumped out at him. Why did I allow it to happen? There are so many other seats. And it comes, this guy says, what? I'm standing up for my rights. In this country. It comes, this guy says, I am standing up for my rights. Like that. But it's really the ego. Jumping out. One fellow, he just got married, you know. So all his friends told him, look, you take charge from the beginning, otherwise you will be in trouble, you know. So he came in the village, you know. So he told his wife, you make sure every morning you get up and you heat that water for me to take bath, because it's a cold place, you know. Heat that water for me to take bath, or else. So that new bride also, so I'll do, don't worry. Then every so often he used to remind her, you know, make sure you keep eating that water or else. He used to always say, or else. Then one day that wife said, why are you going, or else, what? So one day she took up that balan, you know. She said, or else what? She asked him now. Or else what? He said, or else I'll have to take cold bath. Anyway, so I'm to get back to this point now. This one power of Bhagwan is to be reflected. Now, to become that devotee of the Lord, see, in this case, it was no effort on the part of Prahlad, isn't it? So now, two things. One is, I reflect on this power of Bhagwan in this story, which is this Hiranyakashipu, Narasimha Bhagwan, who is the Maya Shakti of Bhagwan that can make the impossible possible and let my ego melt away. A devotee cannot have ego. And devotee's guna is, he has to be egoless. So I meditate on this power of Bhagwan, in front of which I amount to zero. And the great teaching there now is Prahlad, just in the company of a saint, he never asked that saint to teach anything. He never did seva for that saint. He did nothing. Just to be there only. Saints are like fireplace, you know. And if you sit near a fireplace, the warmth will soak into you or not. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be there. Isn't it? The warmth of the fireplace will get into us. So, just by being there, he never asked, never did seva, nothing. And what a great bhakta. I told you, I started in the beginning by telling you, he's Mahajana. Mahajan. Prahlad. So, like this, so many wonderful points and teaching in this story of Prahlad. At the same time, how to become a bhakta. If I have to make my own effort, meditate on some any one aspect of Bhagwan. Here, what his power itself, Maya Shakti. Many people feel Bhagwan Maya something. We talk about Maya in some negative way and all, you know. we don't realize, if I'm talking about Maya in some negative way, the fact that I can talk is only because of Maya. Isn't it? Because of that power of Bhagwan only, the individual was manifested, speech was manifested, words, meaning, shastra, everything. They were all manifested all because of his power only. So it's not to be seen in some negative way. It's to be seen as his great Shakti. So meditate on that or any aspect of Bhagwan. Or keep the company of saints. Bas. Keep the company. Now people say, now, Swamiji, what are this thing all up in the sky, you know? What company of saints? I am living in America. We will find company of saints and this and that. Well, you can do. YouTube is there. YouTube is there, videos are there, DVDs are there, so many things. So at least sometime we keep in the company. So now, this great Bhakta Prahlad is called Mahajan. So I thought today I will start by telling you about this thing and all the teachings which are there behind this story. Okay. So in evening time we'll be doing this type of, from Bhagavatam, this type of stories and all. Now morning time, I will be doing Advaita Makaranda. 2 classes every morning. Eh? So we'll have 6 classes total. 6. Yeah, 6 classes. Advaita Makaranda tomorrow at 7 a.m. But at 6 o'clock we'll have meditation. I think somebody will tell the program and all now.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now I'll stop. They will tell the program and then we will pick it up from there.
Hari Amol.